Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Our Asian Origins, a story in New Scientist on the 7th of July 2018. And it's the cover story, and it's talking about how humans possibly came out of Asia. Awkward finds that undermine the story of where we came from are now impossible to ignore, says Kate Douglas. December 1941, Japan had just entered the Second World War. China, already fighting its neighbour, is in the firing line. At the Peking Union Medical College Hospital, Hugh Shinsey carefully packs two wooden crates with the world's most precious anthropological artifacts. Peking men, in reality some 200 fossilized teeth and bones, including six skulls, is to be shipped to the US for safekeeping. This is the last one anyone ever sees of him. At the time, Peking man remains the oldest known fossil belonging to the human ancestors. Their discovery in the 1920s and 30s caused a sensation, triggering declaration that the cradle of humanity had been found. But just a few decades later, all eyes turned to Africa, a slew of discoveries that left little doubt that it was our true ancestral home. As far as human evolution is concerned, Asia was out of the picture. Not anymore. The last decade has seen discovery of new Asian fossils, among others by Chinese paleoanthropologist, with a renewed interest in their heritage. As key moments in our past are rewritten, the spotlight is once more turning east. The first Peking man remains were found in 1923, nearly 50 kilometres outside Beijing. Alongside the broad-nosed individuals with thick bows were burnt animal bones, suggesting an early human ancestor capable of controlling fire. Only four other ancestral human species have been discovered at that time, including Neanderthals in Germany, Australopithecus africanus, identified from ape-like tongue child in remains in South Africa. Team leader Davison Black believed the Chinese fossils represented a new species, which he called Sinoanthropus pekinensis. For a while, all the excitement in the paleoanthropology focused on East Asia. Then, in the 1950s, a husband and wife team, Lewis and Mary Leakey, began digging at Old Uvae Gorge in Tanzania. By 1959, they had discovered a 1.8 million-year-old species called Paranthropus bolsi. This presaged a flood of remarkable discoveries in East Africa, including the earliest Homo species, the Homo habilis, at Old Uvae. Footprints at nearby Laotli, revealing that our ancestors walked upright at least 3.7 million years ago, and the famous Lucy that lived 3.2 million years ago in Ethiopia. Peking man and Asia was sidelined. From these subsequent discoveries emerged the standard model of human evolution. It traces our family tree back to a split with the forebears of chimps 6 to 10 million years ago. The next few million years saw the evolution of a profusion of hominid species and the length and breadth of Africa, before our own genus, Homo, emerged from around 2 million years ago. Homo erectus, an early member of our genus, clearly had a wanderlust. It migrated all the way to Southeast Asia as early as 1.8 million years ago. Today, Peking man is recognized as a late representative that lived 700,000 years ago. While nobody disputes that several human species populate Eurasia very early on, the textbook version sees them as an evolutionary dead end. Our own species, the story goes, descends directly from African Homo erectus and only emerged from the continent 60,000 years ago, at which point it swept across the globe, replacing all other hominid species. That, until very recently, was the accepted story. There are details to fill out, but the plot to remain the main characters were clear. As the fossils trickled out of Asia, drawing far less attention than in the West than African fossils did, they were often dismissed because they contradicted the dominant narrative. Transitional humans. In 1992, for instance, researchers reported finding a pair of 900,000-year-old skulls in Yunnan, Central China. Their features looked like a mix of Homo erectus and Homo sapiens, which was odd since Homo sapiens should theoretically have been firmly sequestered in Africa at the time. Dali Man is a 26,000-year-old skull found 14 years earlier in the central province of Xishan. Shansai, I can't pronounce it, had a similar mix of features typical of transitional forms that cannot be ascribed to any well-defined species. Although Yunshan and Dali Man fossils are particularly fine examples, many more have been found in East Asia. Then, in 2009, Chinese scientists announced the discovery of a 110,000-year-old jawbone of a southern provincial Guanzhai. Though relatively primitive, it displayed prominent human-like chin. The team classified it as Homo sapiens, which would mean that our species were in Asia a good 50,000 years before we previously thought. Still, many were sceptical, reluctant to rewrite humanity's origin. Some suggested that it had been a hybrid of Homo sapiens with another now extinct species, though it would still imply humans were in East Asia. Who or what Zhangji remains belonged to is still hotly debated. The tide began to turn in 2015 when 47 teeth were found inside a cave at Zhoushan in southern China. The teeth were one of the best ways to distinguish between hominid species and were distinctly human, belonging to our own species, not to mention very old. According to Wu Li, the Institute of Vertebrate Paleontology at the Paleoanthropology in Beijing, and his colleagues, they had been lying around for 80,000 to 200,000 years. For Wu, mounting evidence could only mean one thing, quote, early modern humans were in southern China at least 100,000 years ago. That would put our species' first foray out of Africa at least 40,000 years further back in time. Yet the Asian expansion hypothesis is gaining traction. Quote, the transitional view that modern humans swept out of Africa as a single exodus 60,000 years ago is now being called into question, says Michael Petraglia at the Max Planck Institute for Science of Human History, Germany. In December 2017, Petraglia co-authored a review that considers the Asian perspective on human evolution, drawing on all evidence. Paleoanthropologists are now increasingly arguing on the basis of fossil archaeological and genetical evidence that humans began spreading out of Africa by at least 120,000 years ago in multiple waves, said Heragatia, see the map left. An early exit from Africa fits better with other recent discoveries. Just last year, a collection of Moroccan fossils suggest our species could be 300,000 to 350,000 years old, adding at least 100,000 years to our history. Then, earlier this year, we learned that a group of Homo sapiens was living in what is now Israel at least 177,000 years ago, another group making tools in southern India at around the same time. And in April, reports of a fossilized finger bone pointed to the presence of Homo sapiens in what is now Saudi Arabia, at least 85,000 years ago. Early humans were clearly weren't the stay at homes we once thought. There seems little doubt that our direct ancestors ventured east out of Africa as far earlier than standard narrative allows. This is a huge change to the standard view, but it doesn't explain those weird transitional fossils from China that display a mix of Homo erectus and Homo sapien features. Being hundreds of thousands of years old, they predate even the earlier exodus out of Africa. The most radical suggestion is that they are evidence that the Homo erectus evolved into Homo sapiens in Asia. Xu Xinzai at the Chinese Academy of Chinese Sciences in Beijing is the fierce proponent of this suggestion, a form of multiregionalism. The idea that we evolved from a number of separate populations at once regarded as a maverick, but has become more respectable. Most notably, the latest evidence from inside Africa undermines the notion that Homo sapiens emerged from a single population in the east of the continent. Instead, most now agree there were isolated populations across Africa that sporadically came together and mated, creating a variety of human forms. Wu Shaizhi's suggestions, however, remains radical. He believes that transitional fossils are evidence of Asian Homo erectus evolving into our own species in Asia, that Peking man was an ancestor of the modern Asian people, and that Asia should have equal billing with Africa as the birthplace of our species. While some Chinese paleontologists support this view, others see a hint of nationalism at play to bolster his argument that China hominids were evolving along similar lines to those in Africa. Wo Yin Zayu, along with Sheila Athray at Texas A&M University, recently showed that the Dali skull has many features in common with the early Homo sapien fossil in Morocco. The genetic evidence, however, still points to a common African origin. 97% of the DNA in Chinese population can be traced back to Africa. The more likely explanation for the transitional fossil in Asia, like Africa, was once home to various human groups that exchanged genes. Along with Homo erectus, genetic studies have revealed that a number of hominids whose identities are still a mystery. Later, there was the diminutive hobbit, Homo floresiensis, found in the Indonesian islands of Flores some 100,000 years ago, preceded by an ancestral species going back 700,000 years. Denisovians, probably this is akin to Neanderthals, were probably there too, although their identified remains currently amount to just three teeth and a finger bone found in Siberia. Dental and genetic evidence indicate that they were also in Southeast Asia. Even Neanderthals, which have only been positively identified as far east as Central Asia's Altai Mountains, may once have roamed further east. Their characteristic features are now being identified in Chinese fossils. If the various species interbred, they could have left behind hybrids scattered across ages. Indeed, the surprising rich variety among Asian fossils suggests hybridization was widespread, said Maria Moron Torres, director of the National Research Center for Human Evolution in Spain. Martion Torres and her colleagues have also shown that hominids in Africa and Eurasia will evolve relatively independent for a long time. When they examined 5,000 fossil teeth spanning 2.5 million years, they found each continent had its own distinct type of teeth. Strong evidence that Eurasia was a center of speciation in its own right. Rather than multi-regionism, she and her collaborators suggest a source and sink model to explain the human settlement of East Asia. They believe a huge variety of fossils point to a repeated colonization, interbreeding, extinctions, with populations thriving and disappearing depending on the fluctuation of climate over hundreds of thousands of years. During cold period, much of Central Asia and Northern Steppe would have become uninhabitable. These were the sinks, but hominids would have been able to survive in more southerly regions. On some islands and regions where the climate remained relatively stable, such as the Middle East, and which are called the sources. If correct, that points to a strong but discontinuous occupation of East Asia. Though Matron Torres does believe that our species arose independently in Asia, she does not think it likely that we have roots in Asia, though probably not the Far East. Peking Man was a true pioneer, but most of his relatives didn't travel nearly as far, settling instead in the Middle East where the climate was more favourable. This suggests was the source population of Neanderthals, Denisovian, another branch of our family tree, which migrated back to Africa before evolving into Homo sapiens. Maybe Africa was not the only human cradle, she says. The truth is, the story of our evolution is still being rewritten and we can't be sure how it all turned out. What is certain is that Asia can no longer be sidelined. It's possible that the species we evolved from made its migration into Africa before giving rise to us. Let me read that one again. It is possible that the species we evolved from made its own migration into Africa before giving rise to us. Our ancestors then left Africa 100,000 years ago and travelled the breadth of Eurasia for millennia. Look, I find that very hard to believe, okay, honestly, because you'd have genetic code of Denisovians and Neanderthals in the genetic pool. That's just incredible. I don't believe that. The Chinese government recently set up a lab of the Institute of Vertebrate Paleontology and Paleoanthropology to extract the sequence of ancient genetic material. We only have one genome, says Kwame Fu, who heads the lab. It's from a 40,000-year-old individual found near Beijing. More DNA work should shed light, perhaps, even identify the new human species. These and other future discoveries in Asia are sure to unearth more twists of the tale. Asia, says Matron Torres, is like a Pandora's box, which just makes it more enticing. Well, I do have to say that I did read a story about a Jesuit philosopher who backed the Peking Man, and back then, or back in the 70s, the Peking Man was definitely seen as a fake. So I don't know how this all works out. Thanks for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.